All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant from the Philadelphia suburbs. It's Tuesday night. I understand the rant that I'm about to deliver. This is not late breaking news. I'm coming at you, you know, more than 2 days after this happened, Sunday at around 12:30 in the afternoon before the NFL games kicked off. I thought I'd let this go, but I just can't let it go. I cannot let it go with the fact that Florida State is not in this college football playoff. Originally, I was okay with leaving them out. You heard me bumble and fumble and ramble all night Saturday, if you listen to the pod, talking about Florida State's going to be in there, they're going to leave Alabama out. But this idea that Florida State is not in there is just plain stupid. Anyone making this argument about the sports book's going to have Bama favored over FSU, or Michigan would be favored by FSU over 14 points, or like I said, Bama would be favored by them over 14 points. Who cares about that? You're probably the same person that didn't want to talk anything about sports and wagering or anything like that at all 5 or 10 years ago. I don't care about what you have to say. And since when do we rely on the sports odds to be the absolute end-all, be-all when we're picking the best teams? I don't do that. Because how often are these books wrong? I could point to 3 games last weekend where they were definitively wrong. Oregon, Washington, did they set that line perfectly? No, they were wrong. Eagles, 49ers, a 3-point game? No, it was not. It was almost 30 points. Jags, Bengals last night? No, I don't think so. The Jags were favored by almost 10 points, and the Bengals ended up winning the game outright. So these sports books are not always right, and you're relying on them to make every single last argument of yours. Another stupid argument I've heard about why Bama should be in versus Florida State is the fact that, oh, they're going to have 50 players drafted between Bama and Georgia, so at least one of those teams has got to be in. That's so stupid. This is not put the most NFL potential players in the college football playoff. This is pick the best and most deserving teams. And I understand Bama might be a little bit better, quote-unquote, than FSU. I'll hear that argument only up to a certain point. But what is the point of sports at the collegiate level, the high collegiate level, like Florida State is, of playing these games if when you win each and every single one of these games, you're not going to get to move on? And I understand it's college football. I understand they used to vote on it. I understand that they used to have a BCS computer decide all these things. But Florida State is in a premier conference, the ACC. I understand Clemson's down. I understand Miami's been down for 20-plus years. But this is Florida State. This is Deion Sanders' team. This is Bobby Bowden's team. To leave them out when they won each and every single one of their games is just absolute nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. And in making this argument about Bama being the better team, you also fail to leave out Georgia. And I think pretty much everyone would say the same thing about Georgia, would they would be favored over almost every single team if you put them in this playoff. Georgia would probably open as a favorite against Michigan too. Think about it. You're setting the line for that game. You really going to put Michigan as the favorite over Georgia? I don't think so. There's no shot. I understand Florida State lost their quarterback. That's the next thing. But even Travis himself, the quarterback that got injured, said he wished he broke his leg sooner. I mean, how ridiculous is this? We're having players wish upon injury upon themselves earlier in the year so that they could show up how good of a team that they are throughout the year. Just insanity. The mental gymnastics that's needed to justify to put Alabama in is just ridiculous. And I understand that Bama might win the title, but I think in this spot, Ohio State could win the title. I think Georgia could win the title, and they're on the outside too. Just absolutely ridiculous. This committee just couldn't stand the idea of leaving out the SEC and their precious TV matchups. And what's the point? Florida State won every single one of their games. The crazy thing about this is that this is not even an official NCAA event. It's organized by these TV networks. And what they're out to do is not pick the teams that didn't lose. They're out there to pick the best TV matchups possible. It's not an NCAA event, like I said. It's not even a conference sanction event like an SEC Big 12 challenge in college basketball. The whole thing is an ESPN production. And ESPN said, well, if we can't get Georgia in because there's no way that the committee could put them in, that we darn well better get Alabama into this mix. And you know what? They get what they want. And I get it. These games are for TV. ESPN is paying a fortune the size of a GDP of a small country to air these games. But what else did LSU have to do? They got on the phone. They scheduled LSU. They scheduled Florida. This is the same LSU team that Bama beat also. Now everyone's saying Bama is in because of that win against Georgia. And again, the mental gymnastics that you have to pull off. Well, if Georgia was so great, why aren't they in the game? They're not in the game because they lost to Alabama. They lost. If they're so great, if the results don't matter, if winning your conference and going undefeated like Florida State doesn't matter, why not put Georgia in this playoff too? May I ask? Why not put Georgia in this playoff too? It was a field goal game between them and Bama. The Georgia kicker missed a 50-yarder. That only was a 50-yarder and not a 45-yarder because of a false start of the guy on the kick team. So basically what happened to Florida State to screw them over was a false start, a miracle Hail Mary, just for Alabama to be able to win their final two games against Auburn and win that SEC title game against Georgia. That's what it comes down to. And if you want to take it even a step further, because maybe FSU could have snuck in over a one-loss Oregon team, one-loss Washington team. Since Washington won that Pac-12 championship, Washington won a game up against Oregon State by 2 points a couple of weeks ago. And the difference in the game, the Oregon State punt team snapped the ball out of the back of the end zone. And that's what it took, essentially, because it was a two-point game. That was another thing that it took to knock Florida State out, because if not, Washington wouldn't be going as well. These are the small little things. We're breaking it down to small little things, two of which being special teams plays, the other one of which being a 4th-and-31 Hail Mary in which the Auburn coach absolutely gave the game away by not sending a real pass rush and only sending two guys there in the 4th-and-31 situation. If this committee had any courage, and I mean any courage at all, they should have said, you know what? We're not picking between Bama and FSU. We want you guys to play for it. Why not? Who's disagreeing to this? You're telling me that if you have these lawyers and these TV networks work around the clock for 2 weeks straight, you couldn't agree to something to have these two teams play and say, you know what, it's not fair to keep them out, but Bama's number 5, FSU's number 4, we want them to play. And if FSU is so much worse than Bama, which they very well might be because I understand they don't have the quarterback, but again, they didn't lose. If they were so much worse than Bama, let them settle out on the field. I understand there's contracts, but you're telling me that ESPN and ABC wouldn't have another game, a play-in game essentially, in the year before you go to 12 teams? I think they would. And, you know, the kind of logic that's in play, and again, I keep talking about these mental gymnastics that you have to make to justify for Florida State being left out. The fact that there's not logic applied here, because the only reason that Texas is in is because Alabama was a team that they beat. It just doesn't make sense to me. The amount of calculus that needs to take place in this situation. I mean, if Bama and Georgia could have sorted this out on the field, all right, you might have a legitimate argument. You know, the way that Texas got to play Alabama in week number 2, that was sorted out on the field. So again, you're okay with Texas going because they beat Alabama. Where did they beat them? On the field, not by a panel of guys who may or may not like college football, who are, you know, random athletic directors throughout the country. And I understand it changes up every year who's on this panel. But again, the logic in putting Texas in was that they beat Bama on the field. But you're saying, no, FSU's not as good as Bama. But they didn't play on the field. So again, the calculus that you have to go through, the mental gymnastics you have to go through, it just does not make sense. Another argument that I've been hearing, and I'm sick and tired of hearing this one too. Oh, well, the SEC has won 13 out of the past 17 national titles. It just means more here. It's just better down south. I don't care. This is not about 13 out of the past 17 years. This is about this year where a Power 5 team did not lose a single game. I'm sorry that Clemson in their own conference was down. What do you want them to do? It's not their fault. They played all their games, and they did not lose a single one of those games. They deserved to be there. I don't care that Bama's won, you know, six national titles with Saban. Georgia's won the last two. LSU's won one with the guy who's fired, whatever his name is. LSU's won one with Saban. I don't think that's one of the past 17, but you get the idea. Florida and Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not part of this year. Part of this year is that an ACC team, the same conference that has Clemson, the same conference that has Miami, the same conference where Notre Dame's not an official member, but they end up playing five teams every year. That conference is being left out because of the fact that their undefeated champion didn't quite look as impressive. They won every single one of the games, and I cannot get over that. And again, if this committee really had some chutzpah, because I understand what I proposed earlier with Bama playing FSU is not the most practical in a play-in game. But if they had some chutzpah, why not take Michigan out? Michigan's an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference. Who did they beat in that Big Ten title game? Iowa looked that impressive. What, because the guy ran down a punt and chased him out of bounds? I was terrible on offense. I was absolutely awful on offense. They get credit for that, and they get credit for beating a Penn State team who never wins a big game, who hasn't won a big game since 1994 with Kerry Collins playing quarterback. This is who we put in, Michigan, who went out about and cheated their rear ends off, filming things, sending people to games with binoculars. This is who we're letting in. The committee didn't have the ability to take them out. Oh, because they're Michigan. They've got Michigan men. You've heard that term before about a Michigan man before. Who cares? They cheated their face off. At this point, I hope Alabama blows them out. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I would have more respect for them if they pulled Michigan out because of this scandal, because someone needed to draw the line. The conference wasn't going to draw the line. They didn't want to be left out of this and the potential cash windfall that was going to come at play here. Just unbelievable. This isn't, like a group of five school being left out. Because Liberty also was undefeated. They're in a group of five school. And with Liberty, somehow the fact that they went undefeated, they got into one of the New Year's Six bowls. So it's okay as long as it's not the playoff bowls. We'll justify the fact that a team was undefeated and gets to go. But Florida State gets screwed over. But you let Liberty go to a New Year's Six bowl. And I understand their strength of schedule was dead last in the country. I get it. It's all about TV matchups. You're paying a fortune for these games. But at a certain point, it's about the student athletes and what's fair to them. And the fact that what's fair is that when you don't lose a game, you should continue to be able to play in the playoffs until you lose a game. So, no, I'm not a Florida State fan. I'm upset about it. I'm upset that those players don't get the chance to continue on their season even after they didn't lose a game. And it's not, again, you might come at me and say, well, why aren't you upset for Liberty? Listen, we all know college football has a bifurcation, essentially, has a divide, has a dichotomy, whatever big word you want to use. It's the Power Five and Notre Dame schools, and then it's the group of five schools. No one's getting upset and angry because Liberty didn't get into this playoff, even though they won all their games. How long has Liberty even been a Division One? I'm going to say 1A school just to keep it simple and not 1AA. How long have they even been in Division 1A, the bowl championship series? How long have they been in it? 10 years, 5 years? Who cares about Liberty? You left out Florida State, one of, say, the 10 blue bloods, so to speak, in college football. You got USC, you got Miami, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Bama, you got Georgia, you got LSU, you got USC, Florida, Texas, OU. I mean, that's pretty much where I draw the line. There might be leaving out someone obvious. You left them out when they didn't lose a single game. So just absolutely ridiculous. All right, new rant. And again, I'm talking about stuff that happened over the weekend. Let's go to the Eagle game. I'm not rushing to judgment about the 49ers bullying the Eagles. this was a tough spot. And I'm not saying stuff that people haven't already said the past couple of days, past 48 hours or so. How many times could the Eagles have gone against elite quarterbacks and you expect them to come out with a win? I think these two teams are going to be playing on Championship Sunday, just like last year, and I think it's a field goal game either way. Now, what I really want to rant about here in this spot is just the stupidity of some of these Eagle fans. You know, I'm here from in the Philadelphia suburbs. I work in the Philadelphia suburbs. And some of the people I talk to, yeah, they know football. They know the NFL. They know a lot of other sports too. They're not dumb. But some of these fans, they're just so clueless. They're so clueless in the fact that they couldn't believe that the Eagles opened up that game as 3-point dogs. And they kept telling me, oh, you'll see, there's this bulletin board material. And I just kept saying, again, this spot is tricky for you guys because you haven't had much rest. You've played Mahomes. You've played Josh Allen. You played Dak Prescott. And they can't be reasoned with. And they keep telling me that, oh, no one likes us. That's the only reason why we were underdogs. You really think that some of these casinos, these sports books, whatever online, these apps with millions on the line, they're just going to say, oh, screw the Eagles. We're going to make them an underdog. Just stick it to their fans. You really live in Planet Delusional that's what you think is going on here? They couldn't get over this. This same person also said to me that the announcers on TV, not the radio, because those guys are home, rightfully so, that these announcers, they hate the Eagles. And this right here is where I draw the line between New York fans and Philly fans. And I'll include Boston fans with the New York fans here. So the Philly fan versus the Boston and the New York fan. We're all loud, the three cities. We're passionate. We're intense. All right? For the most part, we all know our stuff. But the Philly sports fan, they won't even pull up a Wikipedia page. Who was announcing the game? It's the same guy who announced the Super Bowl, I said. It's Kevin Burkhart. Kevin Burkhart grew up a huge, huge Eagle fan. He couldn't get enough of Ron Jaworski. I get that Burkhart's from North Jersey, but he grew up the biggest Eagle fan in a sea of Giants and Jets fans. And I tell this person this, and they say to me, no, the announcers, they hate him. He must hate the Eagles. I'm just like, he grew up a diehard Eagle fan. You think that fandom just goes away because he's announcing games? I don't think so. I mean, you can't reason with some of these Eagle fans. That's where I get upset. I mean, Burkhart, and I've heard this on the radio before with Mad Dog, he said Burkhart used to intern for him at WFAN and he'd come in with an Eagle jersey. You know, he'd be looking up the Eagles' schedule in a magazine because this is a long time ago, obviously, 20-plus years ago. But with some of these fans, I mean, they think they have an out for their team. Joe Buck never had an out for the Giants or the Cowboys or the Commanders. Burkhart grew up an Eagle fan. I don't know how else I can spell this out for you. They don't hate your team. I'm one of the biggest Giant fans in the world. The product that your team puts out on the field is unbelievable. It was a tricky spot for you guys. I threw roses at the Eagles 2 podcasts ago. I see they're legit. Hurts is legit. A.J. Brown is legit. Defense is legit. Fletcher Cox. I even love the head coach. He's intense. But he's himself. He gets into it. I'm not even mad at the security guard, Dom, whatever, getting ejected. I think that's on brand for the team, and I think that the coach is okay with it, and I think that the players buy into that identity of the team, and that's why I think that they're really well coached. They're smart, too. Howie Roseman's the best GM in football. I mean, I've done nothing but throw flowers at this team, a team that I don't like. Everyone knows that. All right, now, the picks. Last week, we go 2-3. It's only our third non-winning week of the year. We'll do more picks, obviously, Saturday night for the following week. I mean, that Broncos-Texans game, the Broncos get close. They're unable to get that touchdown. They lose by 5 when they were getting 3. Colts at Titans. Titans squandered so many opportunities. They go for 2 early in the game to make it 8-0 and ends up being 6-2. They get 2 block punts. They get an extra point where, with the punter out, Tannehill just not quite in sync with the hold. Didn't quite have the ball slanted at the right angle. So they leave all types of points. They lose by three, or they lose by four in overtime, even when they were up by three in overtime. They're getting a point and a half, so we lose that. Again, not making excuses. Just going over that from week to week, freaky things can happen. The Panthers, luckily, we cut the best of the number, 3.5. They win, they lose by three. All good there. The Eagles and 49ers, we talked about this ad nauseum. San Francisco won by almost 30. They were laying three. The Chiefs at Packers, that was just a bad pick. I mean, I said the handicap to the game was I'm getting Mahomes and I only got to lay six. Jordan Love's played much better. This guy might be the franchise savior. And they're 6-6 now, right in the thick of things. So just not a good week. 2-3. Could have very easily have been 1-4. If a couple things go our way in that Titan game, some better special teams execution, maybe we're 3-2. We're still sitting on the year 42-21-2, still good for 66.67 or 7, depending on where you want to round the decimal percent. So not bad. Not where it was. Early in the year, we're hitting like 71% at a time. I think we opened up like 17-3-1, something to that note. Something like that, 17-5-1. So, you know, not good, not good enough. Or 18-5-1, whatever it is. 19-5-1, maybe, because that gives you 25 games through the first 5 weeks. That's probably where it was. Not good enough this week. 2-3 is not good enough. It's not acceptable. I'm not even going to pull up the stats for the people out there in the Circa contest in Las Vegas because, you know, for a while I was sitting there tied for third, tied for seventh if I was in it, just going by my entries. And again, their lines get posted, I believe, on Thursday. They close by Thursday. Or they get posted Tuesday. You got to pick by Thursday, something like that. So sometimes I get the better end of the number. I watch where it moves, and I kind of pick it out. But, you know, FSU, they got screwed. I can't say that more enough. And honestly, if the AP voters had any type of courageousness, they'd vote them number one if they beat Georgia and just say, you know what, you're getting that AP national title. I know it's not the official national title, but they would stand up for those players who did nothing but win each and every one of their games because they got a raw deal. All right, Schloss Rant Live, Philly Suburbs. Come back Saturday night probably. Next time you'll hear from me and we'll do the picks. We'll try to do better because that 2-3, it's not acceptable. It's not good. Some of the handicaps were just very off on that game, especially on the week, especially with the Chiefs and the Packers. All right, Schloss Rant, Philly Suburbs. We'll see you later, everyone.